Welcome to All Well Stands Back to the Basics radio show. You can find this in other shows as a podcast up on allwellstand.org. And this show is broadcast throughout Africa via shortwave. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. So on this podcast, today's show, we are going to get into talking about some of the miracles that Jesus did. Might even have two shows on it. We'll see. But let me start off with Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him into whom they do not believe? And how shall they believe him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without preaching? And how shall they preach if they are not sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those preaching the gospel of peace, bringing glad tidings of good things. The work of Christ is not done for someone who is a follower of Christ, somebody who is a true believer. It will never be done. There will always be work to be done until either one, the rapture happens, or two, the believer goes home to be with the Lord. And as time progresses, even in countries like the United States, we actually have a larger ignorance of the Bible than ever, even among those professing to be saved and even among those who attend church. One of the purposes of the Back to the Basics radio program is the unfortunate realizing that even most preachers actually don't believe the Bible. They'll believe portions of it, but there's portions of it like the flood that there's podcasts on and that we went over a few weeks ago. You know, they don't believe it, but that's not the way it should be. So All Well Stands ministry is simply thus saith the Lord. God's word is taking at what it says, where it's meant to say. There are some things that are allegorical, and it's clearly known within the text that's being read, but the Bible's to be taken literally. And the same goes to be with the miracles of Jesus. These miracles that Christ did showed that he was indeed the Son of God. Some of these miracles are far beyond what God allowed any Old Testament prophet to do. So on today's show, what we want to do is we want to go ahead and begin to discuss some of these things that set Jesus apart from others who had went and preached to Israel and the Jewish people that God had sent from among them and really show his ministry and what it was about and allow you to hear that. So listen up. It's a great show, and there's a lot of very interesting things, and take it very literally. These things truly did happen. In fact, God still allows miracles to happen nowadays through prayer, and you can ask any true believer or pastor who is truly sent by God to preach the gospel, who's been doing it for quite a few years, and I'm sure they have a couple stories for you. So, but what Jesus did was significant, and it caused a great ruckus in Israel, a great following that it had, and it made the religious people of that day in Israel to, well, eventually have him killed upon a Roman cross. So we're going to go over Matthew chapter 8 and get into chapter 9 on today's show. So we'll start off with Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and did homage to him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you have the power to make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So Something that Israel had was they had a temple, and they had a whole religious thing where people had, for instance, Jesus told this leper, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded. There were laws, there were all sorts of standards and rules that were to be done, including stuff like that. Not the purpose of this Back to the Basics program. Our purpose is to talk about Jesus and some of these miracles that he did on this episode. But in that sense, those things all pointed towards Christ. The tabernacle, the temple, all that pointed towards Christ as the ultimate sacrifice for man's sins, for our salvation. So you have this leper who already has heard of the fame of Jesus. He comes and worships him, calls him Lord, and knows that if he is willing, that Jesus can make him clean. And so this was no phony miracle. The Bible says in Matthew 8:3, immediately his leprosy was clean, was cleansed. So you have a lot of times you have some of these big charismatic, we'll call them tents, and you know, there'll be people jumping around and all this stuff and laying hands and all this screaming and hollering. And if you actually look into it, the vast majority of this type of stuff, nobody is actually healed. It is demonic in nature. Totally a different show, totally a different thing. It's really, one could talk numerous shows about that type of stuff, and then the danger of this group and that group and this group and that group and this group. Really, it's just easier to say, okay, here's God's word, here's the Bible, let's go over it, here's what it says, and you know, go on from there and pray to God, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that he will point you to a group of believers or to a church that is actually honorable to him that you can attend. So let's continue on. Let's look at the next miracle we're going to look at. And these are not necessarily, these are in order in the book of Matthew, but some of these are not necessarily in chronological order. But Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him begging him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, being terribly tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed the same hour. So we have here somebody who had a position of power in the Roman government system. And he comes, and there's a couple things I'd like to point out. In verse 8, the centurion answered, said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. So here's that recognition of who Jesus is, the Son of God. People nowadays throw around his name, and there's a lot of stuff even done in the name of Christianity, particularly in the United States. A lot of Europe and South America, Central America, they have a false way. It's the Roman Catholicism. It's a works-based doctrine. It's a doctrine that does not lead. It's not John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. No, it's a works-based way. But there are so many people who proclaim to be Christian and really think about, as a follower of Christ, as somebody who may desire to become a follower of Christ, think about who you are serving, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So, I preached a sermon a long time ago, probably in maybe 2017, to a very small group. And I used the example, I think it was King Abdul, was a king in the Middle East. And my example was this, is if, and this king had a, he, well, we're not going to say he was a bad king, but definitely, as one would know, if you know anything about kings, one where you certainly wouldn't want to cross. So imagine if you're serving this king in some sort of form. And the king says, okay, I'm going to put you in charge of, we'll say, the treasury. And so you're in charge of the treasury, and you have the money, and you have the bank accounts, and you have the gold and the silver and the precious stones and maybe some real prizes in there. Could you imagine what would happen if you had some gemstones and you took a couple and somebody else audited it and found it, and without you knowing, they searched your house and hidden in the wall behind the panel, there was a few stones. And you got thrown in before the king. It would not be well for you. Some of these kings that rule even today, it would not be well, particularly in the Middle East. You'd be lucky if they threw you in prison. And that's all I did to you. So how is it that those who proclaim to serve Christ, those who proclaim to be servants of Jesus, cannot follow the example that was just read, where the centurion said, I am not even worthy that you come underneath my roof. How is it that they think that they can just live loose lifestyles that do not reflect following the King of Kings? Something to consider. And something that also help you know what church you go to. If you're looking for a church in Africa, or you're listening to us on the website and you're looking for a church in your local thing, what are these people doing? How are they following the Bible? Are they truly serving Christ? Do they have a zeal to serve Him? I can only pray that God will help you find a place that would be edifying. But let's continue on talking about these miracles. So, we're going to go to the next one. And that's Matthew chapter 8, 14 through 17. And when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. I'm going to stop right there in verse 14. While we're there, we might as well cover it. So, I'll just throw this out there. The Roman Catholic Church falsely proclaims that Peter is the first pope. It is not true. It was not true. But Matthew 8:14, listen carefully. And when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick of a fever. That's Peter's wife. Popes are not married. Okay. Continuing on, 8:15. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served him. So, I mean, bam, it's gone. I know it's just a fever, but it's gone. If I have a fever, I have DayQuil, I'll take some of that. It's usually what I go to. It doesn't happen very often, but if I do, you know, I have to work or something, you know, I'll just take a little bit of DayQuil, and it usually takes about a half hour, and it's gone. This, you know, just instantly, and she feels completely better, arises, serves him. Verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with a word and healed everyone who was sick. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Okay. there's a lot there, a lot more than just a quick read over. So let's go over some of that. This is something that I have related to family and some of my personal friends over the past several years from time to time is, you know, you take in the United States, you take the Hollywood thing. And when I was younger, I did watch The Exorcist. And not a good movie. But in there's a demon-possessed girl and her head turns all the way around. Now, speaking to people in Africa, I am certain that you are well aware, and if you're not, haven't seen it personally, you know somebody who has seen evil spirits having people do very crazy stuff. We could call it a demon possession, because that's what that is. As I know, portions of Africa, throughout all of Africa, are still to this day riddled with the occult. Riddled. And the thing about it is we live in a society where I would tell my family and my friends, well, their heads don't really turn around. So this is probably an example I can't use anymore. I know they've come out with different movies. I refuse to watch them. And actually, I had a friend who watched one of them, and I forget what it was called. It was something to do with an Emily or something. Oh, it was probably like 15 years ago. And he's like, I saw it. It was terrible. And I'm like, yep, I won't watch them. But, you know, the thing is their heads don't necessarily turn around. I mean, it's not that. Sometimes you can see it, but there are many who were demon-possessed who were healed. He cast out the demons with a word, the spirits with a word. And so the thing is even nowadays in the United States, there are people who are demon-possessed. You will walk past them. You might see them in a grocery store, but you might not recognize them. I mean, if somebody is... I've had my experiences once in a while. It's not very often, to be honest with you, where, you know, it wasn't that long ago. I came home and I told my wife, I said, look, I was here shopping and I'm pretty sure this guy, like, he was staring at me and I was watching him and I'm pretty sure he was demon-possessed. And I had a good friend who ran a ministry. And his books are available online that he wrote for free. It's under the books. It's VW Books. There's quite a few I recommend. If you want to learn more, download them. This is a Back to the Basics program. That will give you some real awesome stuff to read and tons of stuff to read. And you will get a lot more than a basic education. And anyway, I remember one time he talked to me and he's like, I just had this experience where very weird, some guys staring at me, and I had just had the same thing happen a few nights prior. And this is back, I don't know, maybe 2009. It was a long time ago. And you know, nowadays there seems to be something wrong with society where, I don't know, they're partly zombified or something. I'm not really sure. At least in the United States. I can't speak for other countries. It's weird. I just stay away from certain things and avoid it because I feel like that may be the problem. But let's continue on. So, we are going to go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, a great tempest arose in the sea. So the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, of what sort is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Okay, well, what sort of this? Take a look at Genesis chapter 1, the creation. And it shows that if you heard those that spoke about that. With a word, the winds and sea obey him who created them, of course, right? And the thing is this is a faith issue. So his disciples say, Lord, save us, we are perishing. If, I want you to think about this, and we're going to get, just drop a little bit of nugget of something a little bit more rich. If you actually, in your heart, fully believed and had faith that indeed, on this boat that you're on, the Son of God, God himself in the flesh, is in this boat asleep with you, and the waves are going. You would wonder why Jesus would say to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" No matter what, nothing is going to happen. This is one of those things where it's truly a faith issue, and any believer will deal with these things. We're not exempt from these. My goal is always to be like David, where when he went up against Goliath, a story that perhaps one day we'll go over, the giant, and he went to fight him in the name of God, and he had his sling with his stones, and the giant said, "Okay, come here, and I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds." David, in the name of God, via faith, didn't just go up or stand there. He ran. He ran towards the giant. And it is so much easier said than done, but consider that even the disciples failed here. I mean, these are the people who have seen the demons cast out. They've seen the sick healed. In fact, let's roll back. Got a little bit off track speaking about the demons being cast out. And Matthew 8:16, a little tidbit there is, "and healed everyone who was sick." So there's a little brief nutshell that we went over talking about what Jesus did, some of the miracles and healing people. But one of the things that we didn't go over is healing everyone who's sick. I want you to imagine, you know, so in Rapid City, South Dakota, it's pretty sparse outside of here. You can get out of town, and if you stay off the freeway, and particularly you head north, and you start heading on some smaller roads, you'll quickly find yourself in the middle of nowhere in a few minutes. But right here, it's a hub, and it's a hub of medical. We have a ton of medical in this town. So we have a lot of sick who come to this town. We have a large hospital. We have a private hospital. We have medical clinics all over. There are so many chiropractic clinics, dental offices. It's pretty mind-boggling for a town of 75,000 people. And why? Because outside of here, on this part of the country, there's not much. The closest towns of any significance is Gillette, Wyoming. It's about 57,000. And in Billings, Montana, which is a little bit of a drive from here, and just over 100,000. So this is a hub that people come to. Kind of keeps this city on the map. And they come from, as well as our Air Force Base in Box Elder. But they come from North Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, much of South Dakota, and parts of Nebraska. So we see, in all reality, when you're actually driving around, you see quite a few Nebraska plates, which isn't that far from here. It's about 80 miles. And then you see a few North Dakota and some Montana. And, of course, some Wyoming mixed in. It's mostly Nebraska that I see. But they come from all over. And it brings a lot of money to this town just because, you know, people have doctor's appointment and you probably have to drive 2, 3, 4 hours. So, you know, you're gonna eat out somewhere, you know, so keeps the restaurants a little bit busier than they would be otherwise. So, but imagine in your town, because we have sick people coming here all the time getting treatment in, you know, for some whatever ailment. Imagine in your town, Jesus, or this town. And he's healing everyone who's sick. We could have, in a modern day, with the internet spreading, I think we would shut down the whole area of the state with the amount of people who would quickly come if there was a prophet of God, or Jesus, which wouldn't happen. But if there was a prophet, you know, healing people, like truly healing people, which isn't going to happen either. But not in that sense, not in the sense of Christ. That's why, that's what made Jesus, Jesus, the Son of God. But imagine in your town how many people be, and people actually healed. I mean, there's people with all sorts of ailments. They have, you know, all sorts of problems from little to large. They're on all sorts of medicine for this, that. I mean, it could be nasal allergy problems. It can be, you know, whatever. Fill in the blank. There are so many different medical problems that you can have. I have a analog version of Google. I have a older Mayo Clinic book, and it's quite large, and I have another book that's kind of like on medical. It's a, they're pretty big books, and you can look up something if you want to. But if you just imagine the amount of people that have a need, and here is Jesus, and yes, we rolled back to Matthew chapter 8, verses 16, because the Bible says, and healed everyone who was sick. Everyone. It, you know, even in just one neighborhood, if you know, you take the ailments, even if they're small, you would find myself in line also. I would have some requests. And if I'm just, how great that would be to live in that time frame when Jesus was, when the Son of God was among man. And to be able to experience that and to actually believe that and actually meet him in person and accept him as your Lord and Savior. And how great that would be. I mean, I would be in line. Yeah, I have a couple little problems. They don't really put me behind. They don't really, you know, I don't need to do anything about them. But it would be nice not to have them. You know, can you fix them? And just to go up to Jesus and talk to him and say, could you please fix these little things that they're just kind of annoyances, but I really would be better not to have them. And he says, if he says, you know, yes, I will. And they're just, you're gone, you know? I mean, it's just gone. I mean, could you imagine? Now imagine the people sitting there. We're obviously not going to make it through chapter 9. But imagine the people sitting there. The testimony. And you wonder why the following is so great. The testimony. Imagine watching people go up. I mean, imagine people who are sicker than a small ailment. Imagine people, you know, getting on a bed. People, and we'll talk about this a little bit, but imagine people coming on beds. Imagine cripples coming. Imagine people who clearly have problems. I mean, nowadays, what about people, you know, you would have people in line who are stage 4 cancer patients getting treatment, likely to die. Imagine them walking up to Jesus and he says, you are healed. All the medical treatment, the terrible treatment that a lot of people get, and most people do not overcome. Modern medical, and I know firsthand from family members that have went through this, the modern medical industry, I've had two close family members who have died of stage 4 cancer. And I believe that the modern medical industry, for one, extended the lifespan of one of these family members for a short period of time. And because it was a short period of time, they didn't suffer much, they died. And the other one, they extended for, probably gave them 3-4 months. It wasn't a very good existence. They kept them alive, but they weren't able to heal either of them. And if these folks, if we had all lived back in this time in Israel, and there was Jesus, both of these family members would have been able to walk up to him and say, please heal me. And Jesus would say, I'm willing. And he would heal him. And could you imagine? Could you imagine? You know, we would be so thankful if a doctor had a pill they could just pull out of their pocket and say, there you go. As of yet, mankind hasn't quite gotten there, and I don't know that we ever will. Anyway, if you have questions about salvation, please visit the website at www.allwillstand.org. Until next time.